Dear God, we thank you this evening for another opportunity tonight to share a portion of your gospel with someone who wants to hear the truth. We are so thankful, Lord, for your love that you continue to bestow upon us with the spiritual blessings that rain down from heaven. We're thankful, Lord, for those blessings being only available in your Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, what those blessings afford us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be a part of your household, to be a part of the beloved, to be a part of that royal priesthood. Thank you for the kingdom that your Son purchased with his own blood, Lord. We pray that someone wants to be added to his church, the Church of Christ, tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that Brother Harper preach your word in such a way that someone's heart is pricked and convinced about how their name can be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll do those things required to do so through faithful obedience to the gospel. We ask this prayer in Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very appreciative to everyone that's on tonight. We're very thankful and thanking God for this Friday night, the last night of this week, for every person who's on the call tonight. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest, as has been mentioned. You're the VIP of our audience, and we're thankful to have you on our call tonight. We pray now you open your Bible, for we believe in the churches of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And for mankind to go to heaven, they got to do exactly what this Bible says. And therefore, we put this call on in mind for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Tonight, I speak in the person of Brother Robert Harper. He's a repeat defender of our call, one that's been on multiple times for us. And his son was on last night. He'll bring his dad on tonight. Brother Robert Harper Sr. will speak to us tonight about, thus it is written, about your name being written in heaven. I want my name in heaven. I know every person listening tonight want to know that your name is written in heaven. Brother Harper, tell us how to get our name written in heaven.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. We appreciate again very much this opportunity to join you and your many listening audience again on this nationwide conference call where the gospel is proclaimed and where lost souls are presented with the opportunity of being saved. I just want you to know that I appreciate the work that you're doing, and Brother Flunder, Brother Stroud, those men who work with you. You are doing an outstanding job in the cause of Christ and in the interest of lost men. And also, it is such an encouragement to those of us who are in the faith to be reminded of these truths over and over again, of the faith that we have in Christ and the hope it brings to us all. Now, tonight, we have a great subject based on the Word of God, thus it is written, is our theme. And I'm specifically addressing the subject, is your name written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? The theme suggests that to answer this question, it must be based upon what is written. It cannot be based on one's personal opinion, or simply one's belief system. But that belief system must be based upon what God has said in his divine word. Now, there are many places where one could have his name written that will bring great satisfaction. But there is no place like having your name written in heaven, or in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some regard it as a great privilege to have their names high on the social register. Others are glad that they have succeeded in getting their names recorded in some who's who list of recognition. But none of their prestigious recognitions can compare with having one's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life or in heaven. Jesus makes this crystal clear, my friends. One occasion when his disciples took pride in and rejoiced over the fact that they demonstrated authority over the powers of the enemy. And yet Jesus responded to them by saying, "In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Luke 10 and verse 20. In looking at this great text, it teaches us that one knowing that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is in fact the supreme source of one's joy. It is the thought of knowing that you have the hope of eternal life. And what better thought to have even this very night? The Apostle Paul used the same concept in writing to the church at Philippi and trying to encourage them to help the men and women who labored with him in the gospel. And Paul inspired them by telling them that those that they would be helping are those who have their names written in the book of life. Philippians 4 and verse 3. How is it that Paul could know with such certainty and thus could declare that those who served with him in the proclamation of God's divine word was in fact in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, you know Paul as I do, having read many of his epistles. Paul does not speak from the basis of his own knowledge or personal opinion, but rather the word of the living God. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 3, verse 1, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afar in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mysteries of Christ." Paul is saying the only way that you and I can know God's will and know the certainty of the hope that we have in him is by reading what the apostles wrote. And unfortunately, there are so many who may claim this wonderful privilege of having their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not based on what they can read. It's not based on what is written, but rather their opinion, their feeling. Let us understand something here, beloved friends, and those of you who are in the body of Christ. This joyous anticipation is our wonderful hope. And the believers had to have some knowledge of what it meant to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. While I'm convinced that their knowledge is probably not as wide and broad as ours, seeing how they didn't have the written revelation in its fullest during the early days of the apostles. And even after then, they were only limited to letters here and there written by the apostles until it came to completion in about 96 to 100 A.D. at the close of the New Testament canon. You and I can have a fuller appreciation, and therefore, I believe, great joy in the knowledge that our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and understand what that really means. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 5 and verse 12, "Great is your reward in heaven." In other words, to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is to have the assurance that there is a great reward in heaven. And when I think about heaven tonight, as I read the New Testament, and as I listen to the writers of the New Testament, I am impressed with heaven's beauty, first of all. When the Bible says that heaven, the city, is made of pure gold. Sometimes people look up the heaven and they say the streets are made with gold. But according to Revelation 21, the Bible says the entire city is made of gold. And the pearly gates we shall see as we enter them. Revelation 21 and 21. We are told that in this place of heaven, there is no night. Revelation 21 and 25. Because the glory of God will illuminate it, and the Lamb is its light. Revelation 21 and 23. The Bible says there is a river called the Water of Life. It is crystal clear. It proceeds out of the throne of God, and in the middle of the streets, on either side, there is the tree of life. And the Bible says the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nation. Somebody ought to pray with me tonight. According to Revelation 22, 1 and 2, heaven is where we will all see God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, face to face. Revelation 22 and 4. I like what John said about it in 1 John 3. In verse 2, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. Somebody pray with me tonight. We will worship him, and we will praise him, and we will serve our God because of the great salvation that we enjoy, and that joy will never end. Revelation 7, 10 through 14. Brothers and sisters and friends, there will be a great reunion of those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, a great reunion of the redeemed of every age. Matthew 8 and 11, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Paul, James, and John, and many other faithful women and men who serve the Lord faithfully. Revelation 7 and 9 tells us that it'll be a number that no man can number. We sing the song, "Oh, what a fellowship. Oh, what joy divine." Our families and friends, our loved ones, were separated by death. We'll experience the greatest reunion of great joy. According to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Heaven is a place of rest, where the Bible says, where the wicked cease from troubling, and where the weary are at rest. Job 3:17. We will enjoy rest that will never end. Revelation 14, they shall rest from their labor, and their work do follow them. We'll never hunger, never thirst, no heat from the sun. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things would have all passed away. Revelation 7, 16 and 17, 21 and verse 4. No one of the psalmists could say with such exhilaration, in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Brothers and sisters, don't you want to go there someday? I know that you are preparing your heart, your life, for an eternity in that celestial city, the land of no mores. Sorrow, pain, suffering, death, or dying, disease, and all the things that we experience in this world. But in order to go there, it's not enough just to feel like you're going there. It's not enough just to imagine that you are going there. It's not enough just to believe. based on your own opinions. But according to Revelation 21 and 7, the Bible says, as John gives this qualifier, but there shall be no means enter it any that defiles, causes abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Again, Revelation 21, 27. No one except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I am sure tonight then that there are perhaps many of you who contemplate seriously the thought of going to heaven one day and wanting to know, what does God require in order for my name to be written in the Lamb's book of life? What is his will? How can I know for certain? Brothers and sisters and friends, the only way that you and I can know for certain that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, we must let God tell us. We must read it in the written word of God. And when we read it in the Word of God, you and I can know with certainty that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thus have the confidence and joy to press forward in this low land of sin and sorrow and look forward with great anticipation of hearing the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings say, King of Kings, say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In one place of the scripture, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 11, these things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this eternal life is in his Son. Beloved friends, you and I can know based on what's written. And we are assured in the testament of Scripture that those who are in Christ can know they have eternal life. To have eternal life is equivalent to having your name written in the Lamb's book of life. This is not based on hearsay or conjecture, one's own personal feelings, or even the time-honored traditions of men, but rather upon that which is written. This was the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Am I right about it? And then we see the Apostle Paul in following that pattern, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said that you are not to go beyond the things that are written. He was saying that to the Corinthian church because of the those who were there subversing with subversive words to destroy the souls of the believers. Paul said the only way to know the difference is to determine if it is written or not. If it is written or not. This also reminds me of the words of Jesus in Matthew 4 when he was confronted by the tempter to turn stones into bread. Jesus said, it is written. In fact, every time that Satan approached him, he said, is it written? Or it is written, rather. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I, to have this assurance of eternal life, that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, that our names are written in heaven, we must be able to read it. You must be able to read it. And because you can read it, you can truly believe it. What's written is what we base our eternal salvation on. What we can read, what we can put our eyeballs on. The eternal written word of God is the only way that you and I can know for certain that we are on our journey to heaven, that we are on our way to the land that flows with milk and honey, heavenly milk and honey, that we can know for certain that we will end up in the place called heaven, this mansion of many rooms, John 14 and verse 1, based upon what we can read. Notice what Paul says, or rather the Hebrew writer, should I say, who offers this great text, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. He says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Notice this, who are written or registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now notice what he says. Notice what he says with regards to those who are written in heaven. He says that the general assembly or the church of the firstborn, they are written in heaven. Now that serves us in that we now know how we can be assured of our names written in heaven by being in the church of the firstborn. If being in the church of the firstborn registered the first believers' names in heaven, it would do the same for you and me. According to what is written, those who are in the church of the firstborn have their names written in heaven. Let us then think in terms of first century believers, not 20th century or 21st century believers, because so much has changed between then and now. Many people base their beliefs on their denominational connections and affiliations, where they are wearing different names and teaching different and divergent doctrines, contrary to that of which we actually see in the Word of God, that which is written in the Word of God. This is vital because the Bible says that the church is the place of the saved, Acts 2 and 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church those who are being saved. So where are the saved? The saved are in the church. Christ is saving the church. If you and I are in the church, we can be assured of our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But be assured, it is not any church. It must be the church of he who is the firstborn. Now I know that it's Satan's desire to corrupt God's will in order to destroy your souls and minds. That is, he wants to put out there false beliefs and false concepts in order for you to believe so that you cannot make heaven your home. Satan has false ministers. Many of you can hardly doubt that. Many of you question it, and some don't even believe at all. But according to what is written, according to Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 to 15, Paul said, no wonder that for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That therefore it is no great thing that his ministers all set transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So I want to tell you that there are many false teachers out here parading themselves around as they are teachers of God. But the difference is they are not teaching what you can read. And it's amazing to me how a person can believe something that they can't read in the Word of God. The other thing that Satan is banking on
is that you will not care about the fact that it's written enough to obey God's will in terms of identifying these false teachers and avoiding them. According to the Bible, Paul said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine." In other words, he's telling them, if a preacher comes to you and he tells you that religious division is okay, then know that that is a false teacher and that he is to be avoided. If a person comes to you, then it doesn't matter what church you belong to, even though he cannot read that in the Bible. If he tells you that the name of the church is insignificant and it really doesn't matter, even though you can't read that in the Bible. If he tells you to join the church of your choice, even though you know you can't read that in the Bible. If he tells you that any form of worship is acceptable to the Lord, even though he cannot read it in the Bible. If he tells you that any plan of salvation that's set forth as the plan of salvation will work fine, even though you cannot read it in the written word of God, that person is to be avoided. The Bible said because they speak contrary to the truth or that which is written, and that person is to be avoided. Beloved friend, this is your soul. Your soul. You are trying to go to heaven, irrespective to what these preachers or teachers are saying. And you must determine if what they are saying you can read. And if you can read it, then you certainly cannot believe it. And according to the scripture, you must avoid them. Avoid them. Do not go around them. Do not hang out with them. Do not listen anymore to them. You must leave where they are and come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be separate, the Bible says, and taste not and touch not the unclean things. Am I right about it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And the Lord said, I will receive you. He says, I will be your father and you will be my son. You see, the devil wants you to live and die in man-made institutions that don't stand on the word of God, do not have their origin in the word of God. They want you to be sincere, because they know even the sincere will be lost if they are sincerely wrong. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. Satan knows these scriptures. And the Bible says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall fall into the ditch. The ditch is the destiny of those who fail to understand God's will for salvation. How one becomes a member of the church that he or she can read about in the Bible. It is based upon the written word of God. If not, then it's easily, Satan can easily blind your eyes. The Bible says he is the god of this world, blinding the minds of them that believe not. Why? If our gospel be hid, if what I'm saying you do not know, that means he has kept your eyes from seeing this. It means that you are blind and you have not yet made the proper preparation and getting into the church which bears his name and proclaims his teachings. You must decide today that I'm severing all ties with him and that I want to be a member of the church of the firstborn, so that my name also can be recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus, our Lord, the Son of God, is the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible says of Jesus Christ that he is the firstborn over all creation, meaning that he is the source from which all creation was made. Jesus was the firstborn, meaning that he was the one to die and to be raised again, never to die again. Beloved friends, you must obey the gospel today. Become a member of the church of the New Testament. Let me identify for the last few moments that I have, brief moments that I have. In the church in the first century, you must know. And these are just a few things that there were no women preachers in the first century church. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. In the first century church, the Lord's Supper was commemorated, the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, every Lord's Day, every Sunday, according to Acts 20 and verse number 7. According to the first century church, there was no such thing as tithing, which was based on the old covenant law of Moses. There is no record in the new covenant where Christians tithe. They merely gave liberally and sacrificially because of their love for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7. There was no such thing as mechanical instruments used in worship to God. Again, that was old covenant. You and I are under the new law of Christ. Don't you realize the Bible says in Romans 3 and 19, whatsoever things the law said, it said to them that are under the law. You are not under the law. Neither am I under the law. We are under the grace of Christ. That means we are to follow the New Testament pattern. And every example of the New Testament, every commandment, every scripture in the New Testament says to sing and make melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And finally, brethren, let me say, find a church that bear these identities, these identifying marks, and get in it. The only way that you can get into it is not by Paul's words, not by Peter's words, not by Jesus' words alone. But you take what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said, and you develop a composite picture of what it means to be in Christ. For example, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter says, repent. That's Mark 16, 16. Peter said in Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, Paul said, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so, beloved friends, listen to me. The only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. To be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into his body, which is the church. Therefore, baptism is essential to your salvation and your having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This final word is simply this. The Bible says, whosoever name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, where the fire is never quenched, and where the worm dies not, where there is no rest, the Bible says, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25 and 30. And the Bible calls that eternal punishment because your name is not in the book of life. God bless you. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Harper. We appreciate you so very much. Certainly we all tonight must realize that we want our name written in heaven. You've done that for us tonight. We appreciate you so very much for the message. It's very plain, very simple, as we have requested from you. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you heard it tonight. You can't get to heaven without being a member of that one church, the Church of Christ. You have to obey that same truth that we've obeyed. that's written. That's what we're talking about. What's written in the scripture? Nothing else matters but what's written in the scripture, what we call the Bible. Tonight, if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear this message because we want you to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or written in heaven, to avoid that second death. Those who did not have the name written will have to go to that place, the lake of fire, where the worms never die. If you have a question or you like to be baptized or you like further Bible study, go ahead and get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to know more or you want to be baptized, and they will help you. If they can't, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangement for wherever you are listening in our listening audience. We'll make sure we get a sound preacher to you and set up that Bible class and make the arrangements for you to get baptized in the Church of Christ and that your name may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Perhaps you want to go back and listen to Brother Harper's message tonight. Go ahead and go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you find the recorded message. You're able to download them along with all the other speakers that we had and all the other topics that may be of interest to you. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for tonight you've given us, this last night of this week. Thank you for blessing us, Father. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord. Thank you for loving us, Father. We thank you for your Son. Your Son giving us the blood that he shed it, and washed our sins away, and purchased his church, the bride of Christ. And Lord, we want our name in heaven. We pray as we put this call on, and many others too, will obey from the heart this form of doctrine or this form of teaching that you've given us in your scripture, that they too may be saved. Thank you for our effort. Thank you for our speakers. And thank you for all of those who are members of the Lord's church, of your Son's church, who are inviting others to this call. And they too have been edified and strengthened through this message. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Join us next week from Monday through Friday, 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Another word from the Lord. Thus it is written, our theme for the month of November. We pray God will bless you to have a good night's rest. God bless you. We love you.